Unit 15. The Unfortunate Story of the Lost Money.
When I was living in North Africa, and I had a cook, I'd been there for several years, you see, and I was just going to come on leave to England, you see, and obviously it was quite a long leave, you know, I was coming for 3 months, I think it was. So I had a house, and I had to sort of close the house up, obviously, and this chap who worked for me, who was a sort of cook, he was obviously going to go off, you know, for 3 months. There was no point in him staying there, so it was getting everything ready anyway. And I had a lot of things to fix up, so I'd got rather a lot of cash out of the bank. You know, I had a lot of bills to pay and yes. things to do. And I had about £65, I think it was. And one particular evening, I was just sort of, you know, clearing up the sitting room and going to go to bed. I put the 65 quid under the papers in the top left-hand drawer of my desk. And then I went out of the door onto the veranda and locked the door. And the point was, all the rooms of the house sort of opened onto a veranda, onto a courtyard, if you see what I mean. There went passages inside the house. And then I went to bed. So the next morning I got up. And after I'd had my breakfast, I was going out into the town to do various things for which I needed the money, you see.
Yes.
And I went to the drawer to get it, and it wasn't there. I immediately thought, well, maybe my cook Idris has taken this, because the thing was that the rooms were all locked, and you couldn't have got in to the room or any of the rooms of the house without showing some sort of sign of entering, if you see what I mean.
Yes.
And he had access to all the keys in the house, you know.
Oh, I see.
So I went to his room, and he'd gone off already. He'd gone shopping, in fact. In fact, his room was locked. I got the keys, unlocked it, went in, sort of searched the room. Felt rather sort of guilty, you know, sort of going through his personal possessions in this way. But there was nothing there. So, you know, I thought, well, hell, what do I do next? I'd better go to the police. And my mind was still very much on him, that it must be him. So I went down to the police station and said that the money had been stolen, and would the police please come to the house and investigate? And would they also investigate my cook, whom I suspected? And they said, well, they wouldn't come and search the cook or look round the house unless I made a definite accusation against him. And if I made a definite accusation against him, they'd come along and take him back to the police station and really sort it out. Well, I wasn't very happy about that, because I felt I didn't really have any evidence, you know. I was just extremely suspicious of him because of the circumstances. So I said no, but felt pretty desperate about it then, so I went back to the house. Anyway, later in the day, I said to him, you know, I had £65, which I put in the desk, and it's disappeared. And he sort of said, oh, yeah. You know, he didn't register anything at all. So I said, yes, £65 has disappeared. Nobody seems to have come into the house. And he sort of said, oh, yeah, well, yeah. So I said, yes, I'm going to get the police. And he still didn't sort of register anything, you know. He just sort of shrugged his shoulders. So then I thought, well, the only thing to do is that I'll have to tell him that that's it, you know, I don't want him to work for me anymore. But being a coward over these sort of things, I let it drift for about a couple of days, and then the day I was actually going, I said to him, you know, Idris, I'm afraid that I don't want you to come back after the holidays. I think it's better if you don't work for me anymore. And he immediately made a tremendous speech. You see, what the hell did I think I was doing, etc., etc.? Why? What were my reasons, etc., etc.? Mm. So I said, probably very stupidly, but I said to him, well, you know about that £65 that disappeared? Well, I'm not saying you took it, but I just think you might have taken it. And therefore, I don't feel I can trust you anymore. And so I just don't think you can go on working for me. So, of course, that was it. He absolutely went through the roof at this. And, you know, gave me a sort of tremendous tirade. Anyway, I'd quite made up my mind that I'd taken so long to tell him. And I said, well, sorry, you know, that's it. Then, in fact, a friend dropped in, who was a great friend. He lived there. He was a local person. And Osman came in, and he sort of started getting involved in the conversation. Anyway, I wasn't going to change my attitude over it. Then Idris got terribly upset and was all sort of sad about it and upset about it and started to cry and said, that's ruining his life. But anyway, I was completely sort of hard-hearted about it and didn't do anything about it, and that was it. And he went. I paid him, you know, quite a bit of money in lieu of notice and everything, but, I mean, he still felt extremely upset. And it was one of those very kind of unpleasant things which left one feeling rather upset about it, not knowing. I never knew whether I'd done quite the right thing or not. Well, I worked there for a couple of years more, and when I was finally leaving after 2 years, I was throwing out lots and lots of things like magazines, books and so on. And this chap Osman, who had actually been there the afternoon that Rhys had finally left amidst all these rows, I gave him some old magazines, including actually an old Encounter. And he came back a few days later and he said, you know, I didn't know whether to actually come and tell you or not, but I was looking through that copy of Encounter you gave me and I found £65 in the back of the magazine. It's terribly difficult because I was leaving the country, never to come back, you know, in about 24 hours after that, feeling that one had done something wrong which one couldn't put right. And I didn't have any idea what had happened to Idris, in fact. Pretty unfortunate.